Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild time in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who hits four homers almost every night. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you holding up?
My emotions are fragile. I need comfort. I need comforting. Hold me, Hall.
Well, it's been a rough week. All the weeks on the field are rough at this point, but it's been a rough week off the diamond, of course. But we had quite a showing last night from a couple former Tigers that I feel like, I mean, they're not doing it for us, but they're still kind of lifting our spirits. Obviously, Robbie Ray struck out 14, but JD, four homers in one game. Oh, I miss that man. I miss him so much.
Do you feel like he still belongs to you?
Yes, I do. I feel like he's one of our players that's temporarily somewhere else, and I know that that's not the case. Yeah. It's almost like a soccer loan. Like he's spending the rest of the year in Arizona so he can come back to us better off, you know, next year. Which I
feel that way about Verlander too.
Yeah,
like okay, do your thing for a couple years, and then when we have some good players, you can come back and be the Kenny Rogers for us.
Which I wouldn't rule that out at all. I mean, it's if the money's right, I don't see why he wouldn't want to come back.
It's just warm nostalgia, fuzzy feelings, I think, more than actual lucid thinking.
Yeah, definitely. I ran some numbers on JD. He's played, and by that, I looked at his stats. He's played 40 games for the Diamondbacks, 40 ribs, 18 homers. Those are okay numbers.
They should be very satisfied with their receipt of him.
Yeah. So have your wounds wounds healed yet since he's gone? And do you think that time is the only thing that will eventually get us over losing him?
Time heals all wounds. Honestly, I haven't thought much about JD Martinez because we're hemorrhaging other amazing ball players. You know, when you lose Upton and Verlander on the same day. No, was it on the same day? Yes.
Same day.
Just before the end of the same day. That kind of occupies your thoughts. So I haven't thought much about Justin Wilson and Alex Avila yet, really, either. But
though, to be fair, those are not super memorable players. No disrespect.
Right. But so the four home run game, yes, made me wax nostalgic for our boy JD. We really resurrected his career. Avila or Dombrowski, I don't know who it was, retrieved him from the Astros scrap heap and made him something extraordinary.
Yeah.
Or he made himself something extraordinary. He did it in our presence.
I think watching Miggy take batting practice is what made him extraordinary.
Oh, you're that guy now. Yeah.
And by that guy, you mean I'm Rod Allen? Yes.
Yeah. Just stand behind this this netting and watch. And through osmosis, you're going to learn the secret ways of Miguel Cabrera. Well, if that were true, they just have, Edgar Martinez following players around and rubbing them all over. Like if that was how it worked.
I mean, we don't know for sure that that's not how it works. I'd be willing to give that a shot.
Maybe he's on somebody's payroll, just rubbing, touching.
So, Eric, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a story going around the internet recently about a couple who has now visited every Cracker Barrel in the United States.
Wow.
Apparently, that's a total of 645 restaurants. Have you ever felt the urge to visit each and every Cracker Barrel?
No. No. But I have to just interject here. I need to start reading the news that you read. Wherever you're finding news is the place where I want to. So I don't have to, like, learn about our country or anything.
I know
like
nothing
that.
About
I
our
want
country.
Smart. You've done the smartest thing. You want to learn about couples attacking every Cracker Barrel. Now, do you think they've rocked in every rocking chair on every porch?
Oh, I don't think so. See, here's the deal. They haven't even eaten in every Cracker Barrel. They've
what?
Purchased something at every Cracker Barrel, but they haven't oh, eaten geez. There, which to me feels a little bit of a cop-out. Like, I want you to sit down, order, play the little golf tee game, wait. You know, for your meal, eat it, and then leave. Like, that is a Cracker Barrel experience. I want you to do all of that if I'm going to say that you've been to that Cracker Barrel.
You need to peruse the knickknacks and look at the stick candy or whatever. you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly what we're talking about. We have one in Traverse City, which apparently they've been to. So they've been to my city. Relevant magazine, which quite frankly I don't know anything about, but they refer to them as a heroic elderly couple. How do you feel about that phrase?
Relevant is – I actually have a subscription to Relevant. Huh. If you're – it's a Christian magazine. Yeah. Look, well, yeah. Anyway, they would do
more sense now.
They would do fluffy pieces about old couples. I'm sorry. What was the question? I was distracted.
They refer to them as a heroic elderly couple.
You know, in this day and age, that may constitute heroism, visiting every Cracker Barrel.
So that brings us to this week's leadoff question. And this is extremely vague and hard to word. So I just said, if you had the chance to see / visit / experience the entirety of something, as in do or see all of them or something, what would you choose? Kind of like how these people went to every Cracker Barrel.
Right. I think for baseball fans, the obvious answer is visit every major league stadium. And some people would choose to try to do that in one summer. To me, that is just way too much, too expensive and too taxing. I don't know if I've mentioned it on here before, but I'd like to, in one summer, visit every Tigers farm affiliate. So do the Tigers game, then Toledo and Erie and Lakeland and West Michigan and Connecticut, and then see Gulf Coast League games or whatever.
Now, do you want to do it in order? Is that an important factor?
No, I don't think I'd get bent out of shape about order. I'd do it geographically. You know, work my way down or something like that.
We should do that.
To me, that'd be
we should do that next summer. See if the podcast overlords will pay for us.
Yeah, send us money. Give us things.
Yeah, I think the ballpark thing, like, that will happen in my lifetime, you know, barring injury or whatever. That's definitely part of the plans. A kind of a low-key one, though. I'd like to see all of the various national parks. I'm not really an outdoorsy guy, but I'm willing to hike a quarter mile to see a waterfall or something like that. Like, I'd like to see all of them. I think that'd be cool.
I think that's a pretty popular choice. I figured you could try to hit every Moe's Southwest Grill.
Oh, there we go. I actually wrote down that I would like to see every Wawa. But yeah, Moe's, that'd be just
Wawa. Is that the like the Ohio gas station chain or whatever?
No, it actually started, I think, in the Philly area, and they're really big in Florida. There's one like three exits from Joker Merchant. We always hit that on the way in. There's a couple up in Orlando. They're all over the place in Florida, but they make excellent food. They have great like legit good coffee, not just good coffee for a gas station. They have gas stations like it is a food and gas station wonderland. That seems like a pretty fair assessment.
I think you need to choose something that's very obtainable. Like, I want to visit every place where there's a enclave of Amish people. Or I want to visit every state that's an island. So,
now would Rhode Island fall into that category?
Yeah, you go to Hawaii, you go to Rhode Island. It's not a big list. Boom. Check mark. I want obtainable.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at PodcastYanos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Eric is once again at ComericEric. Facebook.com/PodcastYanos. And once again, we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And I told you guys all that I would read out your review if you left it. And somebody tweeted to me that they did leave us a review from the last week. However, I failed to look it up. So I promise we'll read that out in next week's show.
False promises. I tell you what, you've come a long way from the subscribe days, Hall.
I'm far more polished. I'm far more professional.
Sounding good.
Is that a good thing? I don't know. I don't feel like that's quite as on brand. Yeah,
gotta mix in a subscribe for the OG followers of the podcastianos.
Yeah, we don't mention Gosvaldo Garcia anymore. So
no, right?
Oh man. I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcastianos.
Well, Eric, it finally happened. The thing that we all speculated about, said there's no way it could happen. Could it? Well, it happened. Chad Bell is now in the Tigers' starting rotation.
Yes. We all dreaded this day would come, didn't we?
Of course, as you all know, Justin Upton, Justin Verlander, all of our Justins are now gone. Traded August 31st. Both have new and better homes, and we're left square in the middle of an obvious and, let's be honest, probably fairly painful rebuild. I feel like the rebuild was kind of the elephant in the room. Like nobody in the organization wanted to admit it or acknowledge it, but like it was happening, and now there's no getting around it.
It did not feel real when they moved JD because his contract needed to be moved. Yep, you had to do it. It didn't feel real when they moved Avila and Wilson because those were two parts that. Yeah, you just made sense to move. When they moved Justin Upton, I was thinking, oh, yeah, this is really going to suck. But when they moved Verlander, it was over. I mean, it came crashing to a halt, and reality set in for me so hard. Like, this era of Tigers baseball is not declining. It is done. It is absolutely finished. And you could explain to me all the objective baseball reasons to do this, but I was sad for it's a sport I follow, right? But it hit me pretty hard. Like, this is done for a while. We are going to stink, and we're not going to be relevant for a while. And that hit me pretty hard. Like, this is sad.
You say it's just a sport, and it is just a sport that we follow. But I mean, for the better part of all summer, we welcome these guys. I feel like it's the same thing with the Fox Sports Detroit guys. We welcome them into our house every day. I mean, they're not talking with us. They're not interacting with us, but they're essentially a key fixture in who is in our house every night. And I feel like going back to kind of the 2006 resurrection of the club, you know, obviously Mickey came the following year, but like Verlander was the last link to, you know, the old Tigers to the new Tigers.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never really considered that. He was the longest tenured Tiger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to be at this point. But yeah, that's a really good way of putting it as far as the current era, you know, the one with your t-shirt, the back-to-back-to-back-to-back, you know, central champions, that team. I mean, obviously Verlander was pretty much Verlander, Cabrera, Victor were the only three real, remaining pieces from that. But, he was the absolute face of the franchise. He is the absolute GOAT when it comes to Detroit Tigers pitching, and there's no sort of argument there.
Right. Yeah, it's weird because if you talk to a middle schooler or even high schooler who is a fan of the Tigers in Michigan here, I mean, they're not going to have memories of the 06, the 2012 Tigers like a lot of us who lived through it. Like that era is gone. You're making me cry. Sad.
Were you still up when it had official gone official, or had you already gone to bed?
Well, I was laying in bed and midnight struck and there was no deal off and on. So I laid my phone down and I just kind of couldn't sleep. And I'm like, I'll check it one more time. And then I checked it and then it was the Fennec tweet. Deal is on or whatever. He's been traded. And I was like, oh, snap. Oh, and then so I read tweets and followed it for the next hour because I'm a degenerate like that. But yeah, no, I was up and following it.
It was
a hot night for.
Oh, I'm sure. I actually kind of regret having missed it. But I went to bed after the Chris McCoskey deals off, nothing going on tweet. Yeah. So the first thing I wake up to in the morning is, oh, the best player on your team of the generation is now gone, which was a fantastic way to start the day. Like you said, there is a very definite side that to come at it from a baseball perspective, and then just the human standpoint. I don't know. It's going to take a while to get over this. Like, he was such an intrinsic part of this team. You know, even like you said, JD. I'm not going to say that I've forgotten about him, but time has healed some of those wounds. It's never going to look normal to see Verlander. Obviously, the Astros have similar colors as us. It's not that big of a adjustment for him, but it's never going to look right. I guess until it does.
Yep. Right. I think I found it fascinating. He had 45 minutes to decide whether he was going to do this tonight. Do this or not. And it seemed like the Tigers maybe should have done a little bit more of investigative work before they took time to, you know, make this trade materialize.
They had to know, but, though, where he stood on this. I mean, the Astros were the talk at the trade deadline. I'm assuming they had to have a pretty good feel of, well, if this comes to push comes to shove, that he would go. And Verlander, that's something that he had to have thought through.
Yeah.
It's such a young team, though. It's not like he's pinning, you know, a CC Sabathia deal where he pinned all of his hopes on the Brewers being good that one year. If the Astros don't win it this year, they're like,
they'll be good next year.
Know, they're an average age of 22 and a half. I mean,
What I tell you what, from the Astros' point of view, this was an absolutely necessary and brilliant move to make. They could have yielded a little bit more. Now they're good negotiators and stuff like that. And they, I think, did as well as they could to not give up not give up more. But from their point of view, he's the perfect ad. Yes, he's expensive, but he's a veteran. He's an icon. He's a legend. But they have the money and the prospects to land him, and they needed that another arm, that horse that could lead you through a playoff and help you win a World Series. From there, it was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would have been negligent for them not to have done something. Like, I mean, what their team screamed out for was, like you said, was that ace.
Was Verlander.
And everyone we got from them, not to say they're not good prospects, because they absolutely are, but every single one of them is redundant prospect. They have three or four arms that are just off the charts. I think we got one of them. Daz Cameron, you know, that he's behind, you know, Kyle Tucker, Derek Fisher. Like, they have a lot of really good, and I don't know so much about what their catching situation is like, but, you know, those are guys that clearly they could afford to lose. From a strictly baseball perspective, I think it was a really good deal for both teams. I think we got exactly what we needed for him, and they got their guy. Like, his status as a Detroit legend put Avila in such an impossible situation. Like, the return almost had to match the weight of which we were going to be losing. And, you know, for better or worse, I think it kind of has.
Yeah, I think a little bit of that was posturing. We've talked about that on the show a little bit. I think the prospects were important to save face, but not important enough to stop them from moving him.
I mean,
he's got a lot of money left, and they are eating $8 million for the next 2 years, I believe. So it's the prospects, I think were probably as good as you were going to do for them to take on that much money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that Avila needed to save face within the organization or within baseball. He needed to save face to us.
Like, with his fans.
We're close. I mean, not you and I, but the fan base is close to running him out of town. And not necessarily like we have that power, but just, you know, everyone being so against him. I mean, just search his name on Twitter and you'll see. Obviously, everyone knows that. But yeah, he needed to do something to appease the baseball hipsters that you know, wanted something from him for Verlander. Obviously, it's a different situation than the Smoltz deal. But do you see this kind of going down in Tigers lore as, you know, Smoltz, Cabrera, one of the big ones?
No. No, I don't. I mean, Verlander is – the apex of Verlander's career has come and gone.
That's right? True. Yep.
Yeah. So as has Cabrera's. So this isn't like Smoltz where he had his entire career piling up in front of Tigers fans' faces. And look,
that's
you
very
know
true.
And, oh, we missed this. Even if Verlander wins a World Series, I don't think Tigers fans are going to have many regrets with him moving him. Father time spares no man.
even Justin Verlander. I feel like Tigers Twitter kind of took it actually surprisingly well, the news. I feel like there's kind of an understood sentiment that, like, he had to go. But from a baseball perspective, I actually kind of got I came from a perspective of, like, if there was somebody of the older generation to lead us into that next era, like, he's still when we are good again, I still think Justin Verlander is going to be a good starting pitcher. Where do you come down on that?
Well, as the night unfolded, the night he was traded, it was, oh, deals off. And then it was exposed who the prospects were that they're going to get, but somehow the deal was off the rails. And I tweeted something like, fine, screw it. Keep him forever, build a statue for him, let him play out his career, pay him his money, and just be done with it. You know, that made less baseball sense, but in my heart, in my soul, it made emotional sense.
Yeah,
to me,
absolutely.
If that makes any sense.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I feel like there's been a little bit of shaming of people who, you know, lost – that can't get beyond losing their favorite player. And that's, like, if the reason you watch baseball is to see Justin Verlander and certain other guys play, like, that's just as good a reason as watching them to watch them win. Like, both are completely understandable. You know, early in the season, I watched every, you know, fifth day to see Daniel Nora's pitch. Whether he was going to pitch well or not, obviously I was going to spin it so that he did. but yeah, that's completely understandable. Let's get into the return a little bit. Obviously, none of us are Astros prospect experts, but we've read quite a bit.
We can pretend.
Assuming between the two of us. Let's start with Perez. Franklin Perez. I'm gonna pronounce it in the Timo variety of Perez, not the Roberto. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Michael Fulmer. Like, he's got that elite pitch ability, outstanding stuff. Kind of the you know, you can project what he's gonna become. I really, really like him. When I saw that his name was one of the three, I'm like, okay, now we're talking. And then obviously I did some more research on top of that, and dude's 19 at AA.
Yeah, if he's their third best prospect, who do they have in front of them? They must have some horses.
Francis Martez is a big right-handed pitcher. I mean, he's supposed to be an absolute stud. And Kyle Tucker, who was like the fifth overall pick last year, who's supposed to be, you know, they compare everyone to Trout. He's the next Trout, obviously.
So, yeah, he's slotted for – well, he's not going to – the minor league seasons are essentially done. Only West Michigan is in the playoffs, and Daz Cameron will play for them. But Perez really won't see any playing time for the Tigers organization this year. I guess he's out with the blister.
Yeah, but. I would – do you think he has a chance to – I mean, he'll pitch with us in spring training, obviously. Mm-hmm. I see him spending the majority of the year kind of split between AA and AAA. Maybe a 2019 or late 2018 debut, maybe sticking in the rotation.
How old is he, did you say? 19. He's young. 19. I don't see him pitching in AAA.
I think he'd go over PAA. Yeah, that could be.
I think he spends maybe the whole year in AA,
which is fine. We ain't going nowhere. Maybe a late AAA,
you know. Yeah, exposure time.
Well, I guess we're fine. He can take all the time he needs. We're not going anywhere.
Yep.
I think I'm already in love with Daz Cameron. Like, I loved his dad. I feel like this is the first one that I remember Mike Cameron in his prime. Like, him and Vlad Guerrero are the two that have kids that, like, I like Dante Bichette, Fernando Tatis. I know the names. I remember them very vaguely as major league players, but, like, I remember Mike Cameron as a stud, and that makes me feel old that his kid is now in professional baseball.
I got to see him play personally on Sunday night Sunday night for the Whitecaps. He didn't do much, but it's hard to tell from one game. But
did he play in center?
He had his helmet on the right way. he stood facing the right way in the batter's box, from what I could tell. And so that was real promising.
That's a good start. That's pretty much all you can ask of a kid, you know, close to his debut for a new team. And then finally, Jake Rogers, one of the prospect evaluators I read, and this wasn't Emily, so take it with a grain of salt, but he said that he's the best defensive catcher in recent memory, like, that he can think of, that's quite a claim.
Wow.
Sounds like he's not just an arm, so he's not James McCann, which is nice.
Okay.
And it sounds like he's a light hitter, but dude's got 18 homers this year. Obviously, I didn't get into his ISO and his OPA, you know, anything like that, but 18 homers is far cry from a light hitter.
Right. So with Lakeland this year, he's just 1-for-7, so a small sample, but he did get some playing time with Lakeland.
Suddenly, between him and the two kids that we drafted this year, like, the catching future looks bright.
Yeah, is that Sam? Because that's Sam McMillan.
And what's the other kid's name?
I talked to Emily. I talked to Emily at the game a little bit, and yeah, she says McMillan's the real deal. Real young.
It's nice.
So it's hard to tell, but
nice to have options. So I feel like that kind of ties a bow on the JV thing. Enough fire takes, you think?
Do you have any hot takes on Grayson Long, the guy we got for Justin Upton?
What I think about Grayson Long is that
do have an opinion.
Rolling the dice on him was better than getting, you know, than losing Jay up in a month for nothing. Honestly, I think he profiles a lot as a right-handed Matt Boyd. Does he stick? I don't know, but, you know, maybe he's slightly better than Miles Jay and Chad Bell.
It's something.
It is something that
maybe he catches fire, maybe, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a good strike thrower, and you know, maybe he's Drew Verhagen. Maybe I'll fall in love with him in 3 years.
He's a young player that exists, So, what are you going to get for a month of? Justin Upton is a stud, but I mean, we had no leverage.
No, he was as good as gone.
So you might as well get something for him. He's not going to redeem your season.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? We're running really long at this point, but Justin Upton, he is now also gone. How are you going to remember his 1.8 years or whatever it is in Detroit?
Right. I'm going to remember his awful start with our club and how many times you asked me if I worried about him. And I never did. And sure enough, he stepped up for me after a year or whatever and was amazing. But he got a really slow start with us. I'll remember the walk-off from the game we were at, Hall.
Yeah,
that was an exciting moment. Got to see Upton walk-off.
That's probably our best moment together.
Probably. It's not on this podcast, that's for sure. I'll remember just his power. I don't think I'll remember any of his hits, but he had some power.
Yeah, it's really a shame that we didn't take to him a little bit more as a fan base. I think we all knew that time was a ticking on him, and it is best not to, I guess, get involved when you know that time is limited. But he did really good work for us for a cumulative of about a year over the course of almost two. So, you know, sometimes that's how it happens. And let's see, I have a lot else on the outline for tonight, but we're just going to skip right ahead and get to some interesting outfielding. Mikey Matuk had an interesting adventure in left. For those who didn't see it, I think it was Sunday. Is that correct?
Yeah.
There was a home run hit by – or a ball hit by Jose Ramirez, hit the top of the fence in left and bounced up. He went with his bare hand to try and field it, instead pushed it back. You've all seen this. I don't know why I'm just
describing this. He, like, swatted – he bumped it up, and then he's like, oh no. And he tries to swat it back onto the field. Unsuccessfully. And that was pretty sad. You'd think his embarrassment would be over, wouldn't you? That would be too much wall shenanigans for one man, right?
Yes. The other one wasn't him. It was Presley, though.
No, and I'm talking about him getting robbed.
Okay.
Yeah, so he does the high-five thing to Vizquel coming around first, and then his face drops like, oh, no, because what's-his-face caught it. It was an amazing catch.
Alex Gordon, not Eric Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon. Yeah. And he was like, oh, no. But when is Mikey Matuk is like a legitimate power hitter now.
Yeah, Mikey is a middle-of-the-order hitter, at least in our lineup.
Well, have you seen our lineup tonight?
It is so sad. I didn't look tonight because I was preparing for this, but
worth going over. Our lineup tonight goes like this. Kinsler, not having a great season. From there, Matuk, Castellanos. In the four spot is McCann. Then your boy Hicks. Candelario, Presley, Jacoby Jones, and Iglesias. That's our lineup tonight.
If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. If you can get two catchers in the lineup, you just have to do that.
The game is currently in the seventh inning, and we are up 12-2. We are up by 10 runs.
I saw it was raining curly fries on everybody.
Oh, my gosh. And so far, we're just patching this together. We are cobbling this together with tape and super glue. It's just a mess. We're going to suck, Hall, aren't we, for a long time?
Yes. Next year is going to be really, really bad. I think there's going to be some fun things to watch, but the results aren't going to be fun. And then the following year, maybe there's a little bit of hope.
Yeah. But next year is bad. We better hope we get an awesome pick.
We should. We certainly should. Here's the thing. Just to tie a neat little bow on all this rebuilding stuff, the Tigers were really, really good and fun and exciting, and they gave us a lot of memories over the last 11 years. It was unsustainable, but we've had a lot of highs, and we need to remember those highs. And, being bad for a couple of years doesn't take away all that fun that we had. And it's going to come back. Everything is cyclical. Astros were terrible for a long time, and now look at them. There are better days ahead.
I remember when I first started tweeting. It was the Astros were the butt of every joke because they were so bad. They were so bad. But we're going to be bad for a while. That's okay. We'll get good again.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
Power rankings. Okay, so I had a couple of interesting things today. As you know, today is the day after Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
So we're back to it. Kids back to school on the bus. I know a lot of districts and stuff started earlier, but for me today was the school day. And the weather today, I don't know how it was about you, but it was cold. Like, it was cool in the air. And I'd say the first really kind of cool day. And so you just ponder seasons in life, in existence, don't you?
Sure.
The sands in the hourglass are falling through, and it's time to contemplate life. So I have for you months of the year.
Okay. I actually have hot takes here. I have two favorite months. So
this is an obscure, like, Game of Thrones characters. I hope you will know months of the year.
There's 12.
Can you handle that? Still 12, as far as I know.
Okay.
Okay. Number seven is November. November's good. It's got Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's starting to, you know, it's cool, but you're not fighting the weather too much.
The big problem with November is my favorite football team always loses to the team I hate the most in November. So that kind of puts a damper on the entire month for me.
Yeah. Hopes are fairly good yet then, before the end of the month anyway. Okay. Number six is June. June is kind of that first real summer month. You get to do your outdoor activities.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's really officially kind of summer and warm then.
I agree.
You know, all the shenanigans of May is over.
Except for in Traverse City. When July 1 hits is when you can be sure that we won't have snow up here.
Yeah, you Nordic folk. Number five is July. It's got Independence Day holiday, which is nice. It's the heart of summer. You're vacationing. You're going to a lake or a beach or something. Michigan, July is a good month.
Agreed.
Okay. Number four is September, the month that we're in now. Football starts up. A lot of people love that. You just get that little nip in the air. It feels refreshing after a hot, you know, August. September's a good month.
I like September. Yeah, definitely.
Number three is December. December is a great month. It's got Christmas. The snow feels unoppressive yet. It still feels kind of pretty. You know, it's holiday time. You love your fellow man.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
There's songs about it. It's great. Number two is April. April is kind of that first month of spring. Baseball starts. Opening day is
April. That is a big one. April.
Come on. For our people are going to love April. And in the D, April in the D hasn't been so delightful lately, but ooh, it used to be very delightful. Number one, you want to guess?
It has to be October.
It is October. Good choice, Hall. Yes,
it is the best. I completely agree. Best month of the year.
It is. It starts to get that cooler weather, playoff baseball,
yes.
Football's in full swing. If you're into hunting and outdoors, bow hunting starts the 1st of October, which is always a big tradition in my family. If you like to hike or be in nature, it's a good time for that. The leaves start changing color. And if you're a fat guy, you get to cover yourself with like a jacket. That's nice. It's jacket weather. Nobody needs to see your flesh anymore. Put on a nice jacket. You look a lot better. It's good. October is certainly the best month. The bottom three. Third from the worst is August.
Yes.
The joy of summer is kind of over, and it just feels oppressively hot, and you're kind of sick of it.
August is the Sunday of months.
Yeah. The novelty is gone. You're just kind of sick of it. You're ready for the kids to get back to school.
Yeah, for sure.
Number two is March. March in my area is just like this combination of sloppy rain and snow. Winter's kind of hanging around. It's not really sunny. It's not really spring, but I don't know. March is dumb.
March has one amazing thing going for it, which occupies all of my thoughts during that month. So I'm willing to give it a pass, but
I'm assuming you're talking about the tournament.
Yeah, of course. NCAA but out, like you say, outside, everything is just a total nightmare in March.
Right. Spring training's in March, but it's so close to real baseball, but it's not. It's just like false hope.
True.
The worst month. Get a guess?
As long as you don't say May, I don't care.
No, it's February. February is by far the worst month. You're so sick of winter. There's snow everywhere. It's dark. It feels like drudgery. February is hard to spell. It's just a terrible month. Nobody wants you February. Just sleep through February. Don't get out of bed. Watch Netflix. February is a terrible month. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
February is also my birthday, Whitney's birthday, and our anniversary. So we actually enjoy February.
Terrible month. Nobody wants February.
And actually, I take that back. It is not our anniversary. It's Valentine's Day. That is the one that's in our.
You don't know what month your anniversary is in.
No, I do know. It's in March. I knew there was a. It's all within like a week and a half. That's where I'm coming from here. Okay. I have a story from the side of the road.
Please.
This is you sent me a picture of somebody that was littering around you.
I did.
A fireball on the little deal on the side of the road. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going off the expressway and I'm stopped at the light and I look over and there is a empty bottle of fireball and I'm an insane person, so I have to take a picture of this. So I sent it to you.
The story that it came from a car actually makes it a lot better. I assume that you were like walking or something and saw that, but you stopping traffic to take that makes it so much more.
What do you think I'm going to use my body and walk around? Yeah, a perfectly good minivan.
Hopefully not. Wouldn't want to put you through that. But yeah, thanks. If you're considering throwing your empty alcohols on the side of the road, just don't. It's ridiculous, especially up by me, down by Grand Rapids, wherever you're from. Just screw it, just chuck them. Yep. But when you're up north, we treat the environment with respect.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of treating the environment with respect, so let's see. It was about a week ago. I saw a thing. I don't know, maybe a quart. The thing that strawberries come in, like from a grocery store, a quart, a pint, something like that.
Sure. Yep.
It's a container.
The small ones are a quart. The bigger ones are like a
pint. So it's got to be a pint. It is about half full of strawberries. It's just on the side of the road, like somebody
unconsumed.
Unconsumed. Well, obviously the top half had probably been consumed. Maybe they just got to the point where like enough strawberries.
I'm fatigued with these strawberries. They no longer please me.
Exactly. So I'm running yesterday. Going a different direction than the way that I was running before, probably about a mile and a half apart, I see the same thing of strawberries on the side of the road, empty. So I'm assuming some animal like got into them and dragged them like a long, long way, which made me super happy to think about like what animal it could be. I'm going to go with a coyote or maybe a fox or a
maybe
chinchilla.
Strawberry eater had, regrets. Second thoughts about abandoning the strawberries, came back and got them, ate the rest of the strawberries while walking, and then placed the container back down.
Yeah, still no regrets on the littering, but at least as far as the
disposing of
the strawberries, yeah. All right.
That's a good spot. That's a good one this week.
Okay, let's get into some Twitter questions. I typically ask for Twitter questions the day before and the day that we record. So if you have a question for us, just look for that. On either mine, Eric's, or the podcast's Twitter account. It literally could be coming from any of them. All right. The first one is from Jesse Germain. He asks us, do the Tigers pick up Kinsler's option and trade him like Maben last year? And starting nine next year, Nick, Mikey, and Jacoby in the outfield? All right. So let's break this down.
There's a lot to unpack there. Yeah.
Kinsler, option.
I think it's pretty obvious they're going to pick it up.
Yes,
don't
absolutely,
you?
Definitely.
Okay, so this guy was arguing with me on Twitter the other day, and of course, like a dope, I engaged him for like three tweets. I'm like, they're not going to decline his option. They're going to pick him up, even if it's to trade him. There's too much value there yet, isn't there? I know he's had a bad year, but Power hitting veteran second baseman just don't fall defense. Off.
Absolutely.
They don't fall off trees. $10 million is a bargain for him yet.
Yeah, you have
for
to
one year. You're only committing 1 year.
You have to readjust what you think about player salaries these days. $10 million is a bargain. Like, I know that sounds absurd, but it absolutely is. I don't think they're. I mean, if something comes along that's to their liking, I do think they'll trade him. But I think Kinsler is kind of one of those guys, like I was talking about with Verlander, that. Can help maybe bridge that gap to the next era, at least, like you say, for one more year. Starting nine, it's obviously going to be McCann, probably Miggy, Kinsler, Iglesias, probably Candelario at third at this point.
Yeah, they're going to run. I just saw it. They're going to run on the next road trip, Nick out in right field for a couple games.
Yeah, I think that's the way forward. I feel like I've said this before, but he can't be any worse out there than he is at third base.
It's probably true.
He just can't be.
I wonder what the metric is for relative importance.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Third base is much more of a premium defensive position than right field would be, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, they stick anybody out in right field. If Nick is just a regular baseline athletic baseball
person,
he will do okay in right field, which I don't know if he necessarily is, but I don't think he isn't.
I think it's more about throwing to bases than it is being able to,
which is all mental. If you know what you're doing in every situation, it isn't that hard to know which base to throw to and to do it.
But
accurately.
Have you seen some of Nick's base running stuff?
That's
he's got a lock in. We'll see.
I think he's going to start as the opening day right fielder next year. Mikey in the outfield, and hard to tell on the other one. Maybe Stewart.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I was talking about who is going to be in the outfield next year.
Yeah.
I would
agree.
I think Nick and Mikey are locks, and Stewart should have a chance to win it out of spring training. Okay.
Really? You like Kristen Stewart?
I don't like him. I think that's the case. No, I have Stephen Moya fatigue. I'm almost positive he's going to be a bust, but I think he's going to have a chance.
I think Castellanos sticks in right field, and this is the perfect month to run him out there and try it.
Yeah, why not?
There's nothing on the line. See, once it's major leagues, you know what you're going to get going forward after a month of experience. And one thing going into next year, I think they try to find a scrap heap outfielder. Right, outfield. There's a lot of outfielders, so you should sign a guy on a 1 year deal. You try to find an Alex Presley
something like that.
And the next Mikey Matuk, right? Yeah. And if we sign any free agents, it's going to be a couple of outfielders to compete for that spot, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think there's an outside chance that Presley gets some starts there. I mean, he's been for Alex Presley, he's been pretty good.
But Kristen Stewart and Nick on the corner outfield spots, that's a big defensive liability.
Yeah, but I mean, those two, if you're factoring Stewart into being part of your lineup, you have two defensive liabilities, and they have to go somewhere, you know? And Gerbs, I think, is an option out there, too. I would assume he'll get quite a bit of run in spring training to see where he's at.
I would say.
At Tigers underscore.
Do you know that Gerbs is Rule 5 eligible? So they got to add him to the 40 man.
Ooh, that's saucy. That's interesting. I'd like to see them get him on the. Like, I don't. He's not a guy I would want to lose at this point. Considering
Emily told me that, I shouldn't take credit for knowing that.
True. But yes, considering some of the interesting names that we have on the 40 man, it would be silly to have him not be there.
Right. He's the most well-rounded, complete player that we have. He doesn't have the flashy tools, but you could trust him to do almost any job in a baseball game.
That seems fair. All right. At Tigers underscore opinions asks us, best place to buy former Tigers jerseys of their new team.
Oh, so they like want to buy an Astros Verlander jersey?
That would be my assumption. Or possibly a discounted Verlander Tigers jersey, which you could probably get from the D store.
See, I think Verlander ones are still going to be pretty popular yet. I still think they'll probably sell a lot of those. And play what they should, because they have a lot of them in inventory, I would imagine, right?
It's retro now.
It is.
Vintage.
You know me and my Quentin Berry jersey is all over that. I would buy a JD Diamondbacks jersey. That'd be pretty tight.
I don't like their jerseys. Which,
you don't? I like the funky darker gray. I kind of like.
It looks like they've all just sweated through their jerseys.
Oh man. Okay, so which of the departed Tigers jerseys would you buy?
It's got to be Verlander.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd buy an Avila Cubs. Would be pretty cool.
I kind of like. I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for the Angels jerseys. I wouldn't necessarily. J-Hop's not necessarily my favorite, but I feel like the combination of player and jersey might be okay yeah. there.
I'd of those, I'd say JD one and then Avila Cubs number two for me.
All right. Ian A. Witherspoon asks us thoughts on the next manager. Resign Ausmus, another candidate within the organization. Terry Collins, if he departs the Mets.
Did you see some of the quotes from Avila about Ausmus?
Yes.
I think the question would have been a show all to itself if all
this hadn't happened.
We'll have more chances to talk about this. But the question went something like, do you foresee a situation in which Ausmus is back next year? Which is a loaded question.
Absolutely.
And the response from Avila was something to the effect of, well, anything could happen. We'll have to evaluate at the end of the year. Like, he was buying into the presupposition of the question, and the way that quote looked did not look good for Brad.
Yeah.
I think he's toast.
I definitely think he's toast. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine bringing him back too. Next year is going to be a very interesting job, and it's going to take a very specific set of skills to be able to do it well. I don't think necessarily Ausmus has it, but off the top of my head, I don't know who does. Obviously,
Gerald Laird.
Yes. G-Money. Obviously, Terry Collins has done very well he's done well with a young team. He obviously hasn't done well with young arms, considering they're all injured at this point. I don't know. I'd have to do some more research into that one.
I wouldn't know either. One of the in-house guys, Andrew Graham. Who's in Lakeland? Rebello,
yeah.
They're a little too new, but maybe somebody from the system. Like, if you believe in what you're teaching, your guys in the minor leagues, if you believe in your Caesar software system, in the process, you know, respect the process. Just work your own guys.
As long as it's not Lamont. Or legendary Lloyd, good. I will throw an absolute hissy fit if either of those two get the jobs.
That's a generation that has passed. Now, Lamont is a bench coach, sure. Yeah, good season wisdom, all that stuff. But you need somebody younger. Sorry.
Yeah. Michael Litzner asks us, with JV's departure, Miggy is the de facto face of the franchise. Once Miggy retires, who do you see as the next face of the franchise? Which I feel like we've had this discussion before.
It's too early. Right now,
it's not too early. There is a face. I'm ready to call it. No, Mikey. Fulmer. Mikey Matuk. He's the next face of this team.
I don't know.
I'm in.
I tell you what about Mikey, though. I've poo-pooed him all year.
You've been a significant poo-pooer.
I have been poo-pooing. But he's toolsy. The dude is a truck. He's got power. He can run. He is toolsy. If he puts the little things in the approach together, he might be the starting center fielder for us for the next 3 or 4 years.
And I'm good with that. He's very likable. Like every part of him, which I never thought I'd get to this place, but I'm in.
He has a peculiar haunting face. Does he not?
He does.
He's got like deep set eyes with kind of like a flat. He's a little disconcerting to look at. If you've ever seen Guardians of the Galaxy, he looks like the plant guy Groot. He looks like Groot because his face is interesting. Eyes are deep set or whatever. I don't know what it is.
All right. At Jagger, J-A-G-R, it's probably Jagger, like Jaromir Jagger, 707 asked, what team should I root for now?
I think you have your pick of any of the ex-Tiger teams, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's the Astros, though, without all that Houston's going through. Like,
sure.
Yeah. And it's Verlander. He's our guy. Like, we loved Avila. Justin Wilson had some success for us. Justin Upton had some success for us too. But Verlander, I mean, he's still in all of our hearts and in many ways still a Tiger, even though in no way is he actually still a Tiger.
Right. It's easier to tell you who you should not root for.
Yeah.
It's not the Indians and it's not the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Yes. As long as you if don't you're do cheering those, for you'll the, be fine.
Yeah. Choose somebody better. I mean, the Dodgers, just because they're so powerful and kind of fun with all young, I could see kind of being energized around the Dodgers. Yeah. But just not the other American League teams outside of Houston.
I got a sneaking suspicion we might see the Diamondbacks in the World Series.
Really?
That's a dangerous, dangerous team.
Robbie Ray is going to lead the charge.
They also have Zach Greinke, who's okay too.
Not this podcast, but another podcast. I'd like to do a revisionist history of the trades that we've made and just go back and say, if we didn't do the things that we did, what would it look like?
That would be really interesting. Yeah,
like if we did not re-sign Cabrera, or if we didn't trade Robbie Ray, like some of the things we did, if we didn't do them, what would it look like?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
When the doldrums hit, we can talk about that.
At Lawn Steakball asks us, will Dewal Lugo hit four home runs in his Tigers career? Hashtag that's one game for JD. Yes, absolutely he will. I'm a Lugo believer.
Okay. I have to refresh my memory on Dewal Lugo.
JD. He came over in the JD trade.
Yeah.
AA.
I'll take the under.
You don't think he gets to four? You don't think he... I mean, that's essentially making the big leagues.
All right. My buddy Chris, says, fortunes could be made by taking the under on prospects. Right? Weren't we asking how many saves for Jimenez this year?
Probably. Seems like something we would have guessed on.
Yeah. Take the under. Oh, when it comes to prospects, you always take the under.
Robert Baker asks us, don't know if you have access to hit probability metrics. We do not. But do Tigers have the worst luck this season on batted balls under 50% hit probability? It does seem like that, but I would imagine that every fan base probably thinks that they have terrible luck on batted balls.
Yeah.
So Castellanos obviously is the king of that.
Yeah.
But
Cabrera had some of that too. But you really can't bitch about bad results when you're kind of bad.
Yeah, and if we're being honest,
I think it was clear that we were kind of bad.
If we had really good luck as opposed to really bad luck, we'd still not even be in contention in contention. Exactly. So
yeah, we may be a little unlucky, but it doesn't matter is what you and I think are saying.
At Fritz Klug asks us, she has a theory. This is the hot take. If you have a J at the beginning of your name, you need to watch out. JD, Verlander, Upton. Do you think Jose needs to be watching his back at this point?
Maybe they could move him, right? And possibly.
I suppose I should probably have a... I mean, yeah. if they wanted to send me to a Dodgers podcast, I mean, that'd be fine.
I mean, be interesting to see what prospects I get back. I mean, I'm not actively trying to move you, but I'd listen.
Right? You're hearing out offers.
Right.
All right. One last one comes from David Bratz. He asks, is this the weakest Tiger lineup since 2003?
Yeah. I read off the lineup. It is not pretty, friends. It is still stronger than our rotation right now. True. I mean, now Sanchez got a ball off the shin. Zimmerman, Fulmer are out. We got nothing. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Get Verhagen back in the rotation. Get Verhagen
Bell,
back in the rotation.
Farmer.
Boyd's still there.
Boyd.
He's the de facto ace right now.
He is. Who is the ace right now? It's Boyd. It's crazy. We've come a long way from Price, Scherzer, Porcello, Pfister, Verlander.
Oh, man. That makes my heart cry.
I know, right?
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Eric is at ComericEric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. It's been a tough week. Hang in there. Things aren't going to get better this week, but they will eventually get better. We will be a good baseball team again.
The sun will come up tomorrow.
And it's September. Go watch some football. Go watch some soccer.
There'll be sun.
And listen to more Eric sing.
Just thinking about tomorrow. I'm sorry. Continue.
Oh, no. That was the end. I was just going quiet to hear the voice like an angel from above.
I was Daddy Warbucks in my 8th grade play. I just want to let you know.
I got to be honest. I don't know what that means, but that's lovely. I'm sure you killed it.
Not a big fan of old musicals. Okay, fine.
Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
I don't think so.
All right. With that being said, we will catch all of you guys later. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.